I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
And welcome to the second episode of Puckle Live That Matters. I am Thatch, and I'm here today with two of our fantastic patrons, one of them being Minor Manetric. And the other one being, what do you want to go by? Is it BK Cobra now, or is it Birdkeeper Cobra, or is it the Stars of the Star Raptors, or is it...
Cobra's fine.
Cobra? Commander Cobra?
Yeah.
We're here today with these guys Cobra to talk some Pokemon, talk some nonsense, hang out on stream, talk to you guys at the same time if you want to chime in. Of course, you guys can always be a part of this podcast as well, like these two guys are. You could just become a patron over at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. And get to talk to me. I'm sure that's a gift in and of itself. Probably not, but we're gonna get into it. So we're gonna do that fun icebreaker that I did last time. I really like that format.
Oh man, so I didn't study.
You didn't study. We're gonna rapid fire. We're gonna shoot a lot of questions at your faces real fast. And so yeah, right. We're gonna shoot a lot of. These should be like quick, easy to answer questions. So here we go. Our first question is going to be, what? Let's do one of you at a time. Let's start with you, Cobra. Let's start with you.
All right.
What's your favorite Pokemon? Go.
I was actually thinking about this earlier this week, and I think consistently it's Zapdos.
Okay. Why is that? Do you have any reasoning?
Well, he was like one of my first favorite legendaries, and he's been like consistently good the entire time. So I just really like using him. And then when I build my all bird teams, he's like the only thing that's not doesn't take super effective from electric. So
all right, so next question. Favorite type, go. Favorite type, Cobra.
Oh, that's
favorite
for me type. Sorry.
Yeah,
flying.
Yeah, no, we're gonna go through like eight of them with you, and then we're gonna do minor miniature.
Flying.
Okay, obviously you're a bird keeper.
Yeah, clearly.
What was your first Pokemon game?
Red, actually. I borrowed it from a friend, and then I bought blue.
Okay. And then next question, what is your favorite Pokemon game? Main series.
I was thinking about this because I listened to the live show last week, and I was like, he's probably going to ask me these questions. I think recently... The one that I've played that I like the best was Alpha Sapphire.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle are on the table in front of you, and you choose now. Who do you pick?
Charmander.
Okay. You're boring. Favorite TM?
Favorite TM? Oh, man. Let's see.
This is such a good question. I love this one.
Yes, it is a good one. Roost.
Roost. Okay. That's a good answer. That's a legitimately good answer.
Very consistent.
Yes.
Favorite spin-off game?
I think Pokemon Snap.
That's a good answer. Yeah. All right. And then finally, this is a new one. Sword or Shield.
Mm-hmm. Sword or Shield. Well, seeing as I know basically nothing about the games, I'm just going to pick Sword.
Okay. Swords are cool.
Yep. And I'm a fencer, or I was in college.
Oh,
so.
That's interesting to know.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Okay. So, Minor Manetric, here we go for you.
All right.
All right. What's your favorite Pokemon?
So, despite the name Minor Manetric, I think I'm going to have to go with Arcanine.
Arcanine?
It was one of the Gen 1 that I loved.
Are you wearing a headset, by the way?
Yes. I'm sorry. My dog is bugging me.
Oh, could you just move the mic a little bit farther away from your face? Just like a little bit.
Sure. Is that better?
Yeah, way better. Good. Perfect.
All right. Great.
Okay. And then what's your favorite type?
I would definitely go with electric. I love the speed factor that it has most.
That's still on brand.
Yeah. We'll keep it simple.
What's your first Pokemon game?
It was actually Pokemon Yellow. My grandfather had it in his drawer, and we would go down and steal it when we were on vacation. And mother would. Yeah. So I think it was my uncle who had bought it, and then he ended up taking it or something. But we found it in his drawer one day, and we were super. My younger brother and I were super fascinated with it. And then my mom caught us, and then that didn't go so well.
That's but a really
I
interesting
always had
story.
Soft spot for Yellow. Yeah.
Okay, what is your favorite Pokemon game then?
I would probably have to go with Yellow just for some of those memories. Okay. But as far as like gameplay wise, I'd probably say Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
All right. Okay, Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle are on the table in front of you. Who do you choose?
Give me Bulbasaur.
The right answer. Well, no, Squirtle's the right answer, but we can get there later.
And we'll talk about it later.
Favorite TM?
On brand, I'd probably have to go with the Volt Switch.
Favorite spinoff game?
Can I just say Conquest? I think I'd have to go with that one.
That's a
good
answer.
Like 6 hours or so. That'll be good.
That's enough. A good answer. And then Sword or Shield?
I would have to go with Shield, probably. I tend to play a little more stall based.
Okay, okay. Well, now that we've gotten into these, we've gotten you guys warmed up. We're gonna ask you some more questions because this is the show all about you guys. So let's just ask the general question because I'm sure people care. I care. How'd you find Puckle? When'd you start listening to Puckle? Why is that your favorite host and why? That's the answer. I don't know if Cobra's here or not right now, but
I'll go.
Oh, did you hear my question? Did you hear my fantastic question about my ego?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I picked up on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I actually am pretty sure I found Puckle just by like searching Pokemon podcast on Google Play. Okay. Puckle was like one of the first podcasts that I even really got into. So, I found that and then kind of branched out from there. But yeah, I just searched Pokemon podcasts and, I think really I know this is weird because a lot of people don't like them, but what kept me listening to the podcast was the fake ads. Like, I just thought they were hilarious. And I love the whole Green Tauros thing. Like, I think I bought a Green Tauros shirt within, like, the first 2 months of listening to the podcast. So.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I wear it, like, all the time.
Okay. Okay. What about you, Miner? How'd you do it?
Yeah, so I similar. I was working in a lab, and I had a lot of time to myself, so I figured I'd pick up podcasts. So, you know, the generic, oh, I love Pokemon. I'll look one up, and I found a couple of them. But what made Puckle stand out to me was, like, the community aspect. I don't know what it was, but the way you guys communicated, and it definitely sucked me in and stuck with you guys over all the other ones.
That's good.
So you can have a little ego
boost. Did something right. We did something. I don't know if it was good, but we did something. All right. Well, so what, is there anything like you want to talk about? Anything in specific other than I just got off doing like the regular podcast, which I guess will still come out before this one, it'll still come out before this one. So like we can rehash. But let's see. I think the. So yeah, I just got done recording 380, just for reference for people listening to this in post. we definitely did it. Let's see. So so we just got done talking about leaks in the recent weeks because we've gotten every leak under the sun. Yeah. So I guess I can just like cut out your mailbags and you don't have to send one in this week.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
And you can tell me, do you think Armored Evolution's real?
I don't know. Like, I feel like it could be. Like, if it is, I feel like it would be cooler if it was just, like, a cosmetic thing that you could put on whatever you wanted to. I don't know. I keep hearing a lot of people call them leaks, and really, like, at this point, they're just rumors, right?
Yes. No, the word rumor is very much applicable here.
Okay. I'm just wondering because I saw, like, Joe going off on Twitter about it.
Joe goes off on Twitter about it all the time, though. Like, yeah. That's the thing. Like, yeah. He goes off about it all the time. No, they're not leaks. They're definitely rumors. And, like, my current theory about this is the following. So, if you're not aware, Armored Mewtwo just got recently trademarked by the Pokemon Company and Nintendo. They just trademarked Armored Mewtwo. Only Mewtwo. Let that be noted.
Yeah.
And the reason they probably did it is because of the Pokemon Evolutions movie that's coming out recently. Yeah. And they're just probably going to sell some, like, Armored Mewtwo merch to go along with everything. And so my current theory is this person is probably like a second or third or fourth or fifth hand source about what's going on. Like he heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody. What's going on in the Pokemon Company? This game of telephone. And what I'm saying happened is he heard Sword and Shield. He heard UK. He got that right. And I'm hearing that we got Armored Evolution out of he heard about the Armored Mewtwo thing that they're going to try to hype up. And he probably extrapolated from that a little bit and started making stuff up. Because, like, Armored Zeraora, come on, let's be real, okay? Zeraora is not getting, like, special treatment.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. It's popular, but not that popular.
Yeah, he's not getting special treatment. So that's kind of where I think that rumor came from. Because it was in a 4chan post. It was also 4chan, so, like, take that with a grain of salt in and of itself. Also, yeah, I mean, not to mention, like, Sword and Shield aren't that crazy names to come out of, like, a UK-based game.
Yeah, I mean, I would be kind of surprised. Like, I know that the last few generations I've been watching different videos and speculating about the new games and stuff, and, like, each of the last generations had a little icon in the logo that shows, like, what the gimmick of the generation was.
Yes.
And, like, for Sword and Shield, it's just, like, that little, blue and red Pokeball-looking icon, and I don't really see how that would indicate, like, armored evolutions or anything like that. Like, I don't know.
So even then, if you look at that, the guy that we interviewed on the show in 379, JPR PokeTrainer 98, he and I actually had, like, this parallel line of thought. I didn't realize until, like, I watched his video. I'm like, oh, he literally has all of the reasons I have. He talks about that little symbol in the name, and if you actually look at, so this is really crazy. They dug deep on this one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go and you watch the Pokemon the movie 13. Zoroark and Zoroark, the Master of Illusions. The movie begins with the gang trying to go view Pokemon Bakker, which is just Pokemon soccer. But there's a logo in the middle of the field for it, and it's almost exactly that logo.
Oh wow, that's funny.
And on top of that, like, the same symbol is on the trainer's jersey when they walk into the gym/stadium. And it's on there. So my thought is we're kind of doing, like, a celebration of the return to we see a celebration that's a return to what's it called? Gyms. But we might also be getting some kind of hybrid between trials and gyms. That's kind of what I'm expecting because I think the trials, like, when the totem Pokemon battles specifically, were just done way better than previous gym battles. I thought they were more challenging, even for, like, somebody like me who's a veteran Pokemon player.
I wasn't ready for
like cast form Lurantis sun nonsense.
I think that's done
really well. Like, and I could definitely see them wanting to implement some of those things back into a gym setting. Also, Uncle Oshawott says 4chan leaks sumo starters, therefore every 4chan post is absolute truth, and the boy Gardevoir agrees. They did leak this. They leaked. I'm putting this in quotes, like heavy quotes. They leaked the starters as well. The starter final evolutions, which I don't believe either. This is just something, like, I've been around the block more than once. Like, I've been around for multiple generation reveals. Like, in terms of, like, I watch it and talk about it, right? And one thing that always happens: the starter final evolutions always get leaked. they absolutely always get leaked. So in Gen 6, they got leaked, right? And so the person that leaked the Gen 6 starters, quote unquote, leaked the final evolutions for the Generation 7 starters as well. So everybody believed them. That did not end up being the final evolutions of the starters. Another guy ended up leaking the starter evolutions for Gen 7 before they were announced. And so that same person is the person on 4chan that leaked the Sumo starters as well. And so it was very weird. The guy who leaked the Galar starters is the same person who leaked the Sun and Moon starters. And So I don't know if I believe him. Like, I feel like he's just kind of riding on the hype of the credibility, and now he's about to kill it when it turns out that he's wrong.
Well, speaking of leaks, did you see the whole thing this week where Nintendo of America posted something?
Yeah, they did
about,
it themselves.
Like, gym masters.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that gym masters are all that different from gym leaders.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that. I think it's just another phrase, another term for it. Just give me badges. Yeah. Like, all I want is badges. Give me badges. I have a problem. Like, I bought I bought physical representations of all the badges. Like, I have a problem.
I just don't want to have to collect 18 Z crystals and however many mega stones and all that stuff.
There's like 48, 50 megas. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to handle that in this game. I'm kind of hoping we just get returns of megas. Like, give me a couple new megas. Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
I actually feel like they were testing it out. Like, maybe they'll just have the keystone like in Let's Go as far as the megas. I mean, hopefully it, you know, still kills their held item or whatever, but...
Mm-hmm.
There's no held items, but I think that'd be an easier way. Like, you hold a keystone, you give your Pokemon a keystone, and they talk, and then it gives them the Mega Evolution.
I think that is an all right idea. I think that it kind of ruins the why is that Pokemon capable of Mega Evolution and not the other one, right? Because like then it's just like, why can't Flygon Mega Evolve? And the answer is we don't really like Flygon. nobody really cares about Flygon, and so I think that brings that problem up, right?
That's true.
I think being in England, though, like right next to France, I think there could be the possibility that we get some kind of leak from like the Kalos storyline into Galar, which would be really interesting. And I would like to see something like a Mega Stone type deal.
Yeah.
I think it makes for some really exciting like post-game content.
Man, like, we're all going to get so hyped for this, including myself, and then it's just not going to happen.
I know. I'm already prepared for the disappointment.
Like, I'm hopeful, but like, I'm like pessimistically hopeful. I don't know how to describe my hope. Like, I want it, but I've already accepted the fact that it's not happening.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of want to know more right now. Like, I was excited to hear an announcement, but... And Thatch, I know you're not a huge fan of Let's Go, but like in the trailer, and again, I know too that the trailer's not done. Like seeing the trailer and there being like one NPC and no overworld Pokemon, it just looked like so empty to me.
I mean, we did talk about on like 379 why I think overworld Pokemon would have killed the experience.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump into it too much like that, but I think the NPCs will probably definitely see more. I think we'll definitely see more NPCs.
Yeah,
the game's not done. They showed us some preliminary screenshots, and I wouldn't get too hung up on that yet.
And I know I'm kind of with you. I think like the happy medium is I think they should just bring back DexNav.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh please, I miss Dex.
I think that's the best way to give me what I want and give you what you want.
Yeah, I love that you can get the egg moves and stuff. It's such a like big variety for replayability because you can. You know, when I played Alpha Sapphire, I had a curse Skarmory from the beginning of the game.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really big deal to just do something like that. I don't know. It's something that we might see in like a third version or a remake or something like that, because theoretically, maybe we see a remake. I don't know how they handle this anymore at this point. I could see it being like, hey, we got Sword and Shield, and then we get like Ultra Sword and Shield, and then Ultra Sword and Shield are a complete letdown. And then we get Let's Go Gold and Silver. And then everybody's like, meh. And then, because Let's Go Gold and Silver, we can be completely honest, aren't going to do as well as Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee.
No, I completely agree.
It was a one-time thing.
I'm trying to figure out, you know, if they were to continue with this Let's Go franchise, like what how do they implement it continually? And the idea that those are the remakes that we kind of get accustomed to, I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't know if Let's Go, I don't know, with the success of Let's Go so far, I can definitely see there being a Let's Go follow-up. I think that's just inevitable. We're going to see some kind of Gen 2 Let's Go, which is weird to me thinking about it, because I really do think that Let's Go was kind of a rush product in and of itself, and it wasn't a fully thought-through product. I think they just go, man, Papa Nintendo, you just want something, and Papa, and they gave them a game, they gave them what everybody likes. It was a really good, perfect compromise between Nintendo saying, hey, there will be a Pokemon game on the Switch in 2018, and them saying, we need another year to make a full fledged Pokemon game. Yeah. I think it was an interesting marketing decision.
I think Let's Go 2 is actually a pretty decent game for someone, like, if you've never done competitive, you can kind of push that format as far as no EVs as like a more simplified battling. Get better.
I understand that from that perspective. Yeah. I do agree with that to an extent, that it's a good simplified format. I mean, like I said, it's really good for people who want to get into Pokemon, especially kids. Like, yeah. I think Let's Go definitely has its place. I think it's a horrible game.
Oh, sorry. I also think there's like quite a few features from Let's Go that I'd like to see carried over into other games. Like the Nature Lady, like I hope she comes back.
The Nature Lady is not necessary though in like Pokemon games where breeding is allowed.
Even with that, like, if you don't have something of the right nature starting out, or, you know, like for legendaries, instead of having to rely on like a 50% synchronized chance.
I think we could just like break synchronize. I'm kind of okay with that at this point.
Yeah.
I understand why synchronize can't be 100%. But I could definitely see like them making some rule like, oh, cause like it's 100% in terms of like gift Pokemon. Like when you receive type null, synchronize works 100%.
Okay.
And I could definitely see them allowing that to happen for like legendaries. But I can understand why it can't be 100% in game, like while you're traveling in the grass, because then like, let's say you're just some kid who doesn't understand that synchronize has that kind of effect on the party. Then you end up with like 6 adamant Pokemon, cause you had adamant Abra at the front of your party. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that, I understand why you can't have, it needs to be 50%. So there's still a chance for some variety.
Yeah.
Sigma said in the chat, he said, have synchronized work 100% on special encounters. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with that too. I just, like I said, I know, like, for example, like Shira, I know was soft resetting for a shiny Kartana for like a month. And then
she's just doing that to herself.
Yeah, just, you know, that's just a pain. Like, you finally get the shiny and then it's the wrong nature and you have to keep going anyway. Like, it's just... But other than that, the Nature Lady, one thing that I liked was like the daily stuff you can do. Like you can rebattle the gym leaders, you can search the ground for bottle caps, you can battle, what's her name, from Mina. Gen 7. Mina, yeah, a day and get a bottle cap that way. Like, I think that's something cool. Like, I liked that about Pelago too. Like, it gave you something to log in every day and do.
I think dailies in general are just really good.
Yeah.
I and just games. Like I think the epitome of dailies was to this date still gold and silver, where it was just like, hey, it's Tuesday, you can do the bug catching contest. And it was like, heck yeah, it's Tuesday. That makes Tuesday special for me now.
I completely agree.
I would like to see more of the gold silver type daily stuff integrated into the game. Where like the day of the week matters.
What you mean Island Scan didn't replace that for you,
Thatch? Yeah, Sun and Moon left me wanting a lot. Sun and Moon absolutely made me want a lot more.
Yeah. I actually, like, for me, I really like Gen 7 from just in general from like the quality of life improvements. Like, for one, being able to passively EV train is amazing because I work 40 hours a week. So I can just set my stuff in the morning and be hatching like 18 eggs and EV training and all that stuff when I'm at work. Like, I don't have to come back and do that. And then, oh my God, ride Pokemon. Just thank God HMs are gone.
Yes.
Oh, hopefully for good.
They will be gone for good. I mean, if they weren't gone for good, they would have kept them in Let's Go. They would have.
Yeah.
And they got rid of them with the special moves for your partner Pokemon, which I think was a really smart way to just be like, that was confirmation for me, like, hey, HMs are gone forever.
Yeah.
I understand the purpose of what HMs were supposed to do. I think they were just poorly done as moves, because, like, nobody cares about strength as a move. Nobody cares about anything, honestly, but, like, Surf and Waterfall. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah. Flash. That's one of my favorites.
Occasionally Fly.
Occasionally Fly, because that's the only flying-type move Landorus Therian gets. And it needs,
exactly.
It needs to use Supersonic Sky Strike. Same with Bounce. Bounce and Fly are, like, the same move, too, which is awful.
Yeah, I don't understand that. They should just give them Fly. I mean, especially Gyarados, he's a flying dragon. Like, clearly he doesn't have legs, so he's flying all the time.
I think they just wanted to get around trying to give flying or dragon type to too many things in Gen 1. And that's why we got a flying water type in Gyarados. Because they only gave dragon type to Dragonite, Dragonair, and Dratini. They didn't give it to anything else in Gen 1 was pretty horrible, actually. In terms of, like, type distribution, and even Gen 2 wasn't much better. You got, like, Kingdra and Mistrevis for, like, your only addition for dragon and ghost types. It was pretty paltry.
And then a lot of the cool new stuff, you couldn't even get it until post game. Like, Scizor.
That's so true. That's so true, though. Like, Houndour is out there, Murkrow, like, all of the dark types, too, were, like, locked to post game, minus, like, Umbreon. I think so, because Sneasel was post game. Umbreon was the only one. Tyranitar is a dark type. There were six of them. Houndour, Houndoom, and Murkrow were all post game too. So
yeah, and like when I got Ultra Sun, I also got Gold on the Virtual Console, and I was playing through, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna use Steelix because I can trade for this Onix early in the game. Nope, Metal Coat's available in like Kanto somewhere.
Yeah, it was like. Like, Gen 2 had a lot of things wrong with it. Like, a lot of things wrong with it. I still enjoy it. Like, the dailies were good. I think the dailies were what saved it.
Yeah.
I think that's really what happened, is that the dailies just really, really saved it. Without the dailies, I don't think it would have done nearly as well. Because, like I said, bug catching contest. Like, we talked about it on the show. I think it'd be really cool. You take bug catching contest and you extend that. You can take that and run with it. On Tuesdays only, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, you can do bug catching contests with friends online. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
I think that'd be a great co-op opportunity. Just kind of, you know, I think it would work really well if you're.
I think it would also be a great, I think that it would expand your Pokemon multiplayer experience from just from just battling and trading to something a little bit more interactive, right? Because if you can just say, like, hey, there's five of us here, let's do a bug catching contest, right? I think that would be really cool. I mean, granted, we could probably make up rules to do that now, but I don't think that's nearly as exciting as if the game, like, did it itself automatically.
Yeah, and, like, seeing your friends in the game. Like, I think that's a cool way to add MMO elements and give people some of that, like, MMO experience without making an MMO.
Yeah. So Pokemon tried that already, VT Dubs. Just nobody used it. It was in Black and White.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was going to be really cool, and then it was like...
Bad, yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like a good concept, and then I feel like when I tried to use it, I was just like, yeah, no.
Gen 5, I think the whole DS era was just really awkward in general. They were trying a lot of things out, and they didn't work, but I'm sad that they just kind of dropped a lot of it. Because they could have kept it going. We would have had some really cool stuff. I think a really good example of this is Platinum Version. Platinum Version put in a bunch of like little things you could do with a bunch of people online in the Wi-Fi Plaza. And one of the coolest things that I thought was there that I really wish was still around today was there is this little thing where if, like, say the three of us had eggs, we could go walk in there. It would literally just shuffle the eggs and then give them out to each other.
Really?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool?
That.
I'd be so down for that. Like, if we had that feature now, I would love it. Honestly, the Wi-Fi Plaza in general was just really cool.
That
would be a really cool, like, Pokemon. Well, it was just, the problem was, like, Nintendo was still really bad at the internet back then.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was, I think, a lot of DSs had trouble hooking up to a lot of routers. It was, like, right at the beginning of Wi-Fi. Mm. And it was just really confusing for a lot of people. And you couldn't get it set up properly. I think things are much more stable now. I would really love to see some features like that brought back to Gen 8, and I don't think it's going to happen, but it'd be really cool if something like that happened. Like, we have some kind of like Wi-Fi plaza. If we're going to have Festival Plaza, at least give me something like that.
Yeah.
Not Festival Plaza. Like, give me something where I can do something, where I can just be like, hey, let's shuffle eggs. Hey, let's go do a bug catching contest. Hey, let's go do this. I think they're like there. I just don't think they want to put the effort into something like that. And that's what really hurts me.
No, it's interesting hearing about that, because most of my Gen 4 experience, after, you know, that would being one of the catchphrases that you have is back in Gen 4, if I didn't went back and played it. But I wanted the original experience and only played the Pearl. And that was hard enough as it was. So I've been meaning to go back and see some of the better aspects of Platinum. I just haven't.
Platinum did a really good job. I would say Platinum, like, if I ever go back to Gen 4 to play Gen 4, I play Platinum.
Yeah.
I don't play Diamond or Pearl. Diamond or Pearl, just, they were done, I wouldn't say poorly. They had a lot of the same problems as they had a lot of the same problems as what am I thinking of, as Gen 2, in terms of like length and grinding and pacing. I think they did really poorly in that aspect. Platinum fixes a lot of those issues.
Okay.
I would say Platinum is a much better playthrough than Diamond and Pearl.
Platinum is the only Gen 4 game I've actually played.
Wouldn't suggest going back. It's like if somebody asked me, if somebody's just like, oh man, I need to play Sun and Moon instead of just Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, I'd be like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Just play Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. You're not missing anything.
But even in Platinum, like, I vaguely remember having this feeling of like thinking I was near the end of the game, and then they were like, you're going into the Distortion World. And I was like, no, why?
The Distortion World wasn't that, I mean, it was a cool, it was again one of those things where it's just like a little bit more effort here would have done something really cool, and it was instead just something that was kind of tacked on, like most of Pokemon. That's kind of most of it. Yeah, Platinum has fire type sicknesses. It does have fire types, but yeah, it was interesting. The Wi-Fi Plaza though in there was just so much better.
Yeah,
the Wi-Fi Plaza in Platinum was just significantly better. It's not as good as man, I miss Gen 4. Gen 4 was the day.
I feel like there's just a lot of good features from old games that they could just bring back and combine into one like mega Pokemon game, like DexNav and like Friend Safaris, and
there's something from each gen that I think could just be brought back, and I don't know why they don't. I really don't. It's one of those things that's just really confusing to me. You could bring back like one or two things from each gen, and I think you just have this really powerhouse game. And unfortunately, it wasn't called Wi-Fi Plaza; it was called Wi-Fi Square. It was a thing. It was really weird. There were like mini games in it. It was like, there's like, you throw berries on a Swalot. Yeah, Mr. Mime Junior or Mime Junior Top. You have Wobbuffet Pop. I have no idea what these games are.
you could
do a lot of crazy stuff. There was a thing with eggs. I gotta find that. But there was definitely like a thing where you could do eggs. Also, man, the one thing that we'll never get back is GBA insertion from Gen 4. That was probably the coolest thing ever. Mm-hmm. I forgot
What's
about that? So the original DS, not the DSi or anything, you remember, could play Game Boy Advance games as well as DS games. And so let's say you had a copy of Emerald, but you also had a copy of Platinum or Diamond and Pearl. So in Platinum version, if your Emerald is inserted into the bottom slot, because the game can detect that, because that's how you do your transfers from Gen 3 to Gen 4. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the only reason I still have an old school DS is so I can still do those Pokemon transfers.
Yeah.
And so like, if you have Emerald in the slot, though, you can catch Pineco, you can catch Shuckle, you can catch Teddy Ursa, and you can catch Ursaring. Only if that game's put in there. And like, if you have Sapphire in there, you can catch Lotad and Lombre and Sableye and Seviper and Ludotone. And it was a really interesting feature, and I really do liked it. I really do like it. And like, you get Gengar at the old chateau if you have any of the games in your slot or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of like the old Sonic and Knuckles game for Sega, where you like open up the cartridge and you plug the other one into it.
Yeah.
Ever play those?
Yeah, no, it's essentially that. Like, it was a really cool idea, and I really liked it. It's upsetting that the 3DS / Switch connection will never happen due to Game Freak's $5 service. What are you talking about, Uncle Oshawott? He's talking about how we're never going to have 3DS connected to the Switch directly because we have PokeBank. I think PokeBank, the day that thing was announced, I was so excited because they had found a solution that guaranteed that Pokemon transfer was going to be possible for like the rest of time.
Yeah.
And I am incredibly okay with PokeBank just because it was a one-stop solution for everything. The problem is, like it is every generation, is we're going to get the game and PokeBank compatibility isn't going to come out for like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the darkest thing. It's going to hurt a lot of streamers.
Yeah.
Because PK Hex on Switch is very hard.
Yeah. Well, I think at some point they might try to develop maybe like a mobile app or something.
For PokeBank, I don't know if it's necessary. I think PokeBank, you'll get your Switch app and you're going to get your 3DS app for it. I don't know that you need a mobile app for PokeBank unless you can start doing like other weird stuff in PokeBank.
Well, I'm wondering if like maybe it'll have some kind of like Go connectivity too, you know, since they tried that with Let's Go, like maybe some kind of three-way connection. I don't know. I'm just like kind of brainstorming, but
I like and dislike that idea. I'm putting myself into like the marketing director at the Pokemon company right now. I'm putting on his shoes briefly. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so this guy said, I'm thinking, okay, if I want more people to play our games, we want to try to get that Pokemon Go crowd over to the mainline Pokemon games. Right. And they're just like, we were semi-successful with Pokemon Go. We really baited them. Let's Go, I should say. We really baited them because we're like, hey, here's an exclusive Pokemon you can only get if you have this game. And also that they were all calling unknown. And I feel really bad because I got called out on the survey where they're just like, you hate Pokemon Go players. You're a Pokemon elitist. And the answer is not really. I just don't like Pokemon Go as much as they like Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I don't like it that much either.
And so I really want to, but like if I were them, I'd be like, okay, let's do because one of the major complaints from a lot of Pokemon Go players is the bag space or the box space isn't enough for all the Pokemon they're catching, right? So they've recently had it up from 1500 to 2000. So you go, we've come up with a solution for you. We have this thing called PokeBank. You can transfer your Pokemon from Pokemon Go into PokeBank. You have to pay $5 a year though, but you also get, what is it? You get 3,000 slots, right? You pay $5 a year for it, which isn't that expensive, but you can't transfer it back to your Pokemon Go, but your kid can play with it. I think that might go over well. I do think that could go over well. Like that would be me if I were trying to be a marketing director for Pokemon.
Well, I just think it's neat. Like I liked the standpoint of like from Let's Go, if you look at that, like, hey, I went out in the real world and I caught this Pokemon and it's really cool and it's shiny and I like it and I'd really like to play with it in the game. Let me transfer it over to my main series game and I'll use it there. Like, I think
we'll have some kind of intermediary that's not Let's Go in the future for that. I think the reason that we got it the way we got it as of right now is, like I said, I don't think Let's Go was a finished product. I think they just tried to find a way to do it very quickly. And they're going to, I think when we get the correct PokeBank app, there will be a way for Pokemon Go to interact with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be on an app, but it will probably at least be on the Switch and you connect it to the Switch, just like you connect it to Let's Go. Those are my thoughts on it. I mean, that's really where it goes.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll find some way to tie it in with the Switch mobile app and it'll be convoluted and
I don't know if anybody uses the Switch mobile app anymore.
I used it for Splatoon, and that's it.
I used it for Splatoon like once or twice, and that's it. Nothing more, nothing less.
Well, I didn't actually use the voice chat. I just used it for the Splatoon has the like online store where you can buy stuff with your game currency and send it to your game and pick it up. And I use that all the time to like check stuff. But other than that.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to find this thing. I've been trying to find this platinum like egg swap thing, and I can't find it. It's making me sad. It totally existed. I swear it existed. I swear it existed. I just
that
maybe
is
I was
just telling us about a fever dream he had.
I thought this existed. I thought it existed. My world is being shattered right now.
If not, it's a great idea you pitch to them next time.
I came up with it, right? Yeah, no, Nintendo, listen to me. I know I have ideas. Egg trading, maybe this is it. Oh, wow, nobody responded to this post. Oh, there it is. Also, My Pokemon Ranch, we need some more of that love. Give me Pokebank that turns into My Pokemon Ranch. That's what we need, guys. Could you imagine that mobile app?
No, thank you. I'd rather not.
My Pokemon Ranch, but I could have swore there is an egg randomizer in this. I swear.
I say I want GTS on my phone, but I don't think I'd ever again. So probably need to not have that happen.
Oof. No. So one of the big things they had when GTS first came out, like in Gen 4, back in Gen 4. GTS, brand new concept, really good concept, right? Like, it's a really good concept. It just hasn't improved in like 10 years,
yeah,
12 years, 13 years. But it hasn't really improved any. But what they used to have is they used to have the Pokemon GTS website, and you could watch trades happening around the world in real time.
Really?
That was the weirdest, coolest thing that existed. Wow. And we don't have that anymore, but it was the weirdest, coolest thing that ever existed. It got replaced by the global link.
I feel like, wasn't it a little clunky to use that global, like the website? Because you have to like.
So that one was different because like the Pokemon GTS was different. Oh my gosh, the website still exists. It closed on the in like 9 years ago. Yeah, they closed it. The website still exists though. Pokemon-GTS.net. It's there. It was a really cool concept though. You could like watch the trades happening, and it was just really cool.
I think Uncle Oshawott found your egg.
Oh, there it is. It exists. It's egg spin. That's what it is. It's a spin trade. That's what it was. Thank you, Oshawott. Yes, I still want that. Pokemon spin trade. Oh man, that is amazing. Yes. Oh yeah, because I forgot the union room was a thing and it was weird. Oh man. Yeah, taking me back.
Good old Gen 4.
Gen 4. Gen 3 as well. Gen 3 introduced the union room. Because the union room was introduced with Leaf Green and Fire Red.
Oh, I didn't realize that, yeah.
Fire Red, they shipped with, this is just ancient history now, but when you bought a copy of Leaf Green Fire Red, you got the Game Boy Advance wireless adapter. So you no longer needed the link cable. And like, that's where the link cable died, was the wireless adapter, because nobody else used a link cable for anything but Pokemon, right? Like technically there were games that could use it.
Like Mario Tennis was one, right? That's the only one I think I've heard of.
I knew of a couple games that you could use it. But I don't think I've ever used it for anything but Pokemon.
No, definitely not.
I'm honestly not sure if I had any games for my Game Boy besides Pokemon. Like, I think I had a Game Boy and like every Pokemon from Gen 1 and 2, and then that was it.
I had other games, and like they said something about being able to connect with somebody else. But the problem is, like, Pokemon was different in that everybody owned Pokemon. Not everybody owned like the other games I owned, right? Like, and also like Pokemon was such a big thing back in like the late 90s, early 2000s. So you could always find somebody to trade with. That was really weird. Like I remember the day we discovered that, like when Gen 3 came out, like we had to go buy another link cable. That was really weird.
Did you get the one that had, were all the link cables for the Game Boy Advance that could have like connect or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. The ones that you could like really plug weird. In I other link cables out. Into the link cable. Yes. They were all like that.
Oh, okay. I found one and I wasn't sure.
That was the official link cable, because you could, like, I did do that a couple times as well, before the wireless adapter came out. Like, I did the multi battle with like the four Game Boy Advances plugged in with three link cables. Like, wow. It was weird. It was crazy. And then I think that was the moment they go, okay, now we need wireless.
too many cords. Too many cords.
And that's where we started getting that. And then it was finally built into the DS. And then we got, now we're at current Pokemon without triple battles. Yes.
And now we're gonna have Pokemon Bakker, right?
And Pokemon Bakker, yes, we've come full circle. Wait, Pokemon Bakker coming to a Pokemon Stadium near you. Man, we need Pokemon Stadium, but we've got at least it's on like a home console now. I'll take it. It's like a good medium. As much as I would love like Pokemon Stadium to come back and just give me like essentially Battlefront Tier as like DLC.
That I think that would be a good way for them to implement it if they
don't want to just give it to me for free. Yes.
Yeah.
if there's no Battlefront Tier, I'm gonna be a little upset. Okay. Something just, like I said, you don't even need to make a new one. Just copy and paste the one from Emerald. Just copy and paste it. That's all I need. Copy and paste it with new Pokemon. That's all.
I'm kind of curious if they're going to have new regional variants, because I had a hard time like thinking of what might work for that if they were going to do it.
I don't know. I really don't know there, because I could see them saying yes because, hey, look, this is another island, blah, blah, blah. But I could also at the same time see them being like, no, we're done with that.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to me because it's not like it's a wildly different climate or anything. Like Alola was different. Alola, they like, that was a big thing for them, was like, this region's way different. It's way more tropical. And this one really feels like, and I've said it before, it just feels like Gen 6 all over again. And that's not a bad thing.
It does. No, I think it seems like they experimented in 7, kind of coming back to where their roots almost a little bit with that.
I like that they're coming. It seems like they're coming back to the roots, and I'm going to be blown away and wrong when the next news thing drops, because it's going to be like, by the way, we changed everything. And Pokemon are now Digimon. Welcome. You can catch an Agumon, and
you can fuse with your Pokemon for battles against other trainers.
Yeah. So I just can totally see it just being completely wrong. And then they give us Festival Plaza again.
Oh, please no.
Yeah.
I would, at least Festival Plaza was better than that terrible Let's Go Online punch in three Pokemon code thing.
I mean, like I said it a lot already. Let's Go just wasn't finished. It just wasn't finished. They pushed it out the door, and that's fine because they're just like, we need to get something out. And they didn't spend a lot of time on it, I don't think.
No.
I think where we're really going to see like a lot of difference is going to be next gen, because like they'll have had some more time with the Switch hardware, and like you said, it feels almost rushed to get out some of the Pokemon games on the Switch in general.
I don't know about this one. I don't know about this one per se. I think this one they went safe with on purpose because it's like it's a new system. They're trying to make sure that it's a hit for sure and just make a good game that comes out, right? And I think if you just follow the formula, like a lot of people on Twitter and a lot of people in the community are giving them crap, like at least a vocal minority are giving them crap for not innovating, like Breath of the Wild innovated Zelda, or the comparison I never understand, which is how Mario Odyssey innovated Mario, because it didn't. It kind of just did Mario. And you get a lot of people giving them crap for that, like this vocal minority. But the problem is, like, if the Pokemon formula didn't work, then why does it keep selling so well? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, if you look at the sales numbers for Sun and Moon and even X and Y, like, they're just the same game. Like, it's the same formula. And you know what? I caught Pikachu 7-8 times already in my life to fill in my Pokedex. And I'm going to keep doing it. Like, it's addictive. It's a problem.
I mean, I kind of have the innovation gripe myself, but I understand too that I'm probably in the minority. Like, I was a little disappointed just because the new trailer to me kind of just looks like a prettier 3DS game.
That's what it is.
I still also don't know everything about it. I mean, I got one little trailer. I don't know what kind of innovation they might be doing, because there's all kinds of features.
If you're worried about it looking like just like a bigger 3DS game, I would definitely take a look. I mean, first of all, we are taking a game that was purely on handhelds up until this point off of the handhelds, right? So like, there's that first part. Like, we've never seen something like this happen yet. So I think expectations need to be tempered a little bit just with that. Yeah. And on top of that, if you're worried about like graphical wise and everything, I would suggest you go to the official Pokemon Sword and Shield website. And when you actually like watch the footage there, it's like full screen, and they actually like blew it up to like a size that would be comparable to you watching it on your TV. and it actually looks really clean and really good there. As well as like Mario Odyssey looks, you know, and yeah. It does look.
I mean, that's fair.
Really
I was watching it on my phone, so it is, you know, about the same size as that DS screen.
Exactly.
So I can kind of understand that. I think one thing that bothered me just in general, and again, I know the game's not finished, is that they have this new map with like these really pretty environments and really good, like everything looks really good. I do like the look of it, but then you still have that like dirt path that it looks like you're confined to down the middle of everything.
I mean, it's not going to be Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
I mean, and that I fully understand why it is that way. Mostly because, I mean, they are going to railroad you a little bit. Like, that's Pokemon. You have to be railroaded. They can't do it like Breath of the Wild, where you're just, like, running around fields and stuff like that. And I think that takes away from what Pokemon is if you try to do it. I mean, I think it comes down to what is Pokemon at its core? What is that core gameplay? What is it actually? And I think that's what a lot of people have problems with, is they wrestle with that or don't answer that question properly. And I think part of that core gameplay is, I need to go walk into the tall grass. And if you don't go walk into the tall grass, like, because everywhere is tall grass, then you don't have tall grass, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess to me too, like, I think exploration could be a really good part of Pokemon. Like, if you could only get certain Pokemon from certain areas because you, I don't know, like went behind a waterfall or like, you know, found some off beaten path or something where there's, I don't know.
So they've already done that. They've already done this in Pokemon games, and they still do it. I think an example of this is Gible in Gen 4.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. Gible you can only get to if you went to a very specific cave in Gen 4. And the only way to get into that cave is to actually find like a hidden entrance underneath a bridge that you can barely see. So exploration is still very much of a Pokemon game, and I would expect it here. I think you have gripes with more of like the Sun and Moon, maybe even X and Y to an extent. I think Sun and Moon kind of fixed it. I think Sun and Moon fixed it, especially bringing back a lot of the 1% encounter rates. Like, as much as I'm sure people hated that, I think it was fantastic.
I mean, I really like Sun and Moon. I think Gen 7 is actually one of my favorites. Just because it didn't have HM.
I think you throw in some like hidden caves here and there, and I think you've got exactly what you want. I don't think you need to be able to go off the beaten path per se in Pokemon. I think it's just one of those games where it's just like, yeah, you're on your journey. I mean, even Ash and friends, like in the anime, they're on a trail all the time. They're on some route trying to go somewhere. And it's not like they're just like, hey, let me just wander in this forest randomly. They're saying, okay, this is where the path is taking us. Let's go in that direction. Just something to munch on.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I like I said, I know sometimes my expectations might be unrealistic, so it's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah, but I think this gives us about an hour, so I think we're gonna wrap it up here, guys. Thanks to both of you for showing up. And like I said, if you're a patron and you want to be on this show, or if you're not not a patron and you want to be on the show, check out patreon.com/pucklepodcast. You can hop on. We do this once a month. We get to know you guys and we get to talk some Pokemon. And it's like a mailbag where you can yell back at me.
An interactive mailbag.
Interactive mailbag where you can go, no, Thatch, you're wrong. And I'm
instead
okay
of just pinging you in Discord out of context, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, thanks to everybody. And I guess here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it is closing time. Got to find my mouse. There it is. Okay, we're still on the stream. But thanks to everybody for showing up for the stream. It was a good time. We hung out. It was a great time. We are going to kick it, and I am going to see if the guy actually responded to me for my Apple battle. He did not. Are you kidding me? He says, it doesn't matter what time. I respond a minute later. He doesn't respond.
Oh, my goodness.
With a time. Like, holy hell. And, oh, my gosh. I hate this kid. I hate this kid so much. Yep. So, okay. Yep.
I know, probably...
Oh, go ahead. What's up? You want to ask
me
questions?
I was
going to
say he probably saw a shiny Machop and just took
maybe.
Off.
Maybe. He just like walked out of his house.
So we had, I shouldn't have brought it up earlier. But when you guys saw this, did they feel like, because we had talked earlier in the podcast earlier about like the design of Pokemon, did it seem like they were a little bit off to you? I don't know if it's just because they're new or not, but to me they felt a little bit off.
It's because it's new.
Well, see, I think it's because they used some kind of like weird CGI for that part. Like, that didn't look like the same art style as
So, like, if you're talking about, like, the CGI part, or if you're talking about the Sugimori art, I think the Sugimori art is very reminiscent of... So, it doesn't look like the style from Alola. Mm-hmm. Like, the Alolan starters don't match up style-wise to this. Because Alola, for the Alolan Pokemon in general, they were trying to go for colors, and they were trying to make the colors pop, right? Mm-hmm. And in this one, they kind of went back to Gen 6 in terms of just, like, their style. And I say if you sit there and you line up the Gen 6 starters with these Gen 8 starters, mm-hmm. I think you're going to have less of a problem.
Okay. I think it took me a while to grow up because I'm just seeing the Sigamore now for like the second time or something.
I would sit down. Like, if you really have a problem with it, just like put Froakie next to Sobble and then put like Scorbunny next to Fennekin and then put Kruki next to Chespin. And you're going to be like, wow, these are actually pretty similar.
Okay.
And you'll probably feel better about it.
that I'm sure it'll come.
I think they went back to like a lot of their roots. At least by roots, I mean Gen 6. They went back to that.
The softer roots. Crazy.
I think they were just like, okay, let's go back to the first time we did 3D Pokemon.
Yeah.
And they reeled it back just a little bit.
Well, a lot of people are going in really hard on the whole sports theme thing. And and like, I can see that, but I'm
Loxton.
Like,
Loxton's the worst at this right now. Because he's like they're all sports themed. He's like, Sobble is sob and dribble, Grookey is rookie and monkey, and it's just like, but the G, where's the G coming from? Yeah. He's like green rookie monkey.
He's a grass rookie monkey,
and it's just like calm down. It could just be groovy monkey, which would make more sense to me because I could totally see Grookey just being like punk rocker.
Yeah, yeah. I could see him with drums.
Yeah, I really hope he just becomes a punk rocker, and I hope Sobble has something else going on for it. Like, well, maybe it lives in London and it's just depressed all the time.
I mean, I get that like football is big in the UK and everything, but like I can't really see a marketing person being like, man, you know what Pokemon fans like a lot.
Have you met the fucking marketing department at Pokemon? Like, have you met them? Because if you haven't met them, I'm about to introduce you to something. like the marketing department at Pokemon is absolutely awful. Like, they're just like, you know what people liked? They liked PSS. Throw it out. Put it in the garbage. We want Festival Plaza. It's coming back, guys. Like, so they don't know their fan base. I don't think they know their fan base as well as they think they know their fan base. Because I think another place that shows a real big disconnect is when they didn't bring the Battle Frontier back in Gen 6. Mm-hmm. I think that shows a real big disconnect because then they go, nobody's going to use it. And I think the reason that's an issue is because they just don't take a lot of time to really foster their competitive community in the game. I mean, we have VGC, but I think VGC is off in a lot of ways. One, I mean, I don't talk about this a lot on air, but Sigma will agree with me. He's probably watching. I think the real big thing is, the Pokemon VGC community, at least in the United States, has become pretty toxic in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not part of their clique, they don't like you. The other thing is, and then the one after that is like, VGC also isn't like a really good, it's not a good one-to-one from Pokemon game to competitive community, because you play the Pokemon game and you're just, most of the Pokemon game is single battles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I...
And then they push you to these double battles, which are a completely different ballgame. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not fun. I'm not saying it's not interesting. It's definitely a different meta, and it's a very interesting meta, and it's something to still appreciate. But I think they just don't do this one-to-one with their competitive community that really just creates a disconnect there. And I understand why. Like, logistically, you have to do double battles. Like, logistically, you have to.
Yeah.
Or you're going to get a lot of people screaming hacks at tournaments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because like all it takes is like one crit or like it takes a crit or it takes, you know, a para hacks or something like that to really change the game. And at least a best 2 out of 3 changes that up a lot.
Well, that and if you're doing singles too, like Game Freak is really bad about banning certain things. So like,
yes, they had that
like game show thing where they were doing singles battles and like everybody brought Naganadel.
Yep.
Like that. I don't know. Smogon does a good, I feel like, does a decent job of balancing. Like, maybe they're, I'm not sure they're perfect, but nobody is, you know. Like, yeah, I think they do a good job with the clauses and stuff of making, like, a, I guess, just a organized format that you can stick
really
to.
I really wish they would try to, like, they've really embraced the TCG community, right? Mm-hmm. And they've brought a lot of people from the TCG community onto their staff. They are starting to bring people from the VGC community onto their staff. I really wish they'd grab somebody from Smogon. Yeah. Like, I really wish somebody at Smogon was in a position where they could actually talk to somebody at TPCI. That way they could bring them in and be like, hey, how do you think this could be done? And then, I know, like Sigma says, signals can take too long. Granted, I think you can get through a singles battle in the same amount of time that you can get through a best 2 out of 3 in VGC. Grant, but you're only doing a best of one at that point. Which, if you're doing Swiss, I don't think is horrible. It's when you get to top cut that gets bad.
Well, even if you did singles too, you could do like bring 6, pick 3, kind of like they do with Battle Spot, like to speed it up.
I don't think that's as good of a meta as doubles. Like that meta, like I would say that meta is arguably worse. I would say though, like single 6v6 is probably on par with VGC.
Yeah.
I think if you had a more 6v6 oriented meta, that you would see. You would see more players jump into it. Granted, like you said, banning things is really a big issue, but I think you bring in somebody like from Smogon and you say like, hey, these Pokemon are broken, and they get like at least half of them.
Yeah.
I think you do okay. Like you're just like, hey, how about we don't get Naganadel? And they're like, but we don't really think, you know, like Aegislash is that broken. And it's just like, fine. As long as we can ban Naganadel, you can have Aegislash, right?
Yeah, like I have a feeling Blaziken wouldn't be banned, so they'd just be
Blaziken wouldn't be banned everywhere. Probably, and I mean, Blaziken's manageable.
Yeah,
it's really like if you have too many of those things, it doesn't get manageable. It's like Little Cup's got this thing that they used to call like the banned 7 or something. It's far more than 7 now. But if you made a team of those 7, which are completely fine under like normal Little Cup rules, but like they're banned for specific reasons, like yeah, you just crush everybody. I think so. Same could be said about a lot of the banned like not legendary Pokemon. We'll see though. I mean, everybody brings Wobbuffet. I mean, Wobbuffet's pretty one dimensional though.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But yeah, I'm gonna go eat some food. But thank you to you guys for showing up. Yeah. Thanks to everybody else for showing up. It'll be a good time, and this will be out on time this time. This will be out on, I didn't get the last one out because I was moving. This one should be out on the 21st.
But here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Flip side. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.